So as we think about the question, you know, why church? And begin to unpack this over the next 5 weeks to understand some key things that God has brought his church, his people together to be in the world but different from the world. And again, perhaps some of you are investigating church again and maybe thinking about should I be here or what is this all about? Perhaps you have had a good experience in the past, perhaps you haven't. And so we're redefining, as we did last week, redefining what church is based on the one who established it, and that's God himself through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so when we think about relationships and connections, last week we talked about how God in his love and his grace connected us to Christ, and at the center of church is Christ. And sometimes we make it about other things, about a personality or a building or a program, but really at the heart of church is Christ. And we need to always keep that at the center. So we're going to do that again today. When we think about connections and relationships inside the walls of a church, but also importantly outside, and how we as God's people interact with the world outside these walls is also important and is affected by our relationship with Jesus Christ. So let me get us thinking about relationships this morning, because we all have them. And many of us have lots. I'm not talking about, you know, the 1,050 friends you have on Facebook. I don't know if you can call that inherently a relationship that you have. You just have someone who's stalking you and spying on you and figuring out what's going on in your life, and you share it with them through Facebook. And that can be a fun thing to do. But I'm talking about people with whom you interact. And I'm guessing that if you came here this morning with someone, you have a relationship with them, some connection. It perhaps is your spouse that you made a promise to, you have a commitment to, and you have a love for and a connection with. Perhaps it's your parents. You didn't have any choice which parents you had, but they're the ones that God gave you, and so they're making the best of you, and you are to make the best of them. But you have a relationship with them and a connection that you have. Perhaps you're thinking about individuals that aren't here this morning, that you really enjoy their company, and maybe it's someone you're going to see this afternoon, friends you're going to watch a football game with, or that sort of thing. And I'm not going to, you know, send you to work on Monday morning, but you may be thinking, you know, today's Sunday, work's tomorrow, and then, oh yeah, there's so-and-so there at work that I guess I got to interact with them, because together we have to get our project done or get this thing accomplished. So those are the people that perhaps you have more of a day-to-day interaction with and a day-to-day connection with. But there's also people that, like, if you got to go get your car fixed, you got to go buy groceries, and you got to go to the library, if people still do that, our girls still like going there, you got to get your computer fixed, whatever. There are people that for brief moments in your life you have a connection with, and you interact with them for a specific reason. So as you think about all these relationships that you enjoy or interact with on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis, the next question I want to ask you is, what happens when those relationships become transactional? And here's what I mean by that. By transactional is, do I have a connection with that person, or do I make a connection with that person simply because I need something from them? Now, there are some relationships that we do that for quite naturally, right? If your air conditioner breaks, you hire someone to fix it. And, you know, they say, hi, I'm John, I'm here from whatever company to fix your air conditioner. They say, great, here's what's wrong, can you fix it? They come in and say, hey, it's fixed, it's blowing cold air. You've done a transaction, right? You had that connection with that person because they had something they could give to you, and you had a need that they filled. But it's interesting, if you think about relationships, a lot of them can become very transactional. Not just the ones you hire to do something, but think about the ones at work, right? You're there working with these people because in some ways you need them to carry their weight. You need them to do their job. And if they don't, who's going to look bad, right? So you're not inherently wanting them to do a good job. You want them to do a good job because you want to look best. So what you need from your fellow employees is their best effort, not inherently for their success, but for your success. And that makes that relationship more transactional. Or even as parents and kids, right? we can have a transactional relationship with our parents. It's like if they give what I want, then I'm good with them. If they don't, then I'm upset, right? That can kind of measure if I'm operating in a transactional environment is if I get upset when someone doesn't give me what I want. That can happen in marriages too, right? Where a husband and wife, and it's like, well, she's not loving her, so I'm not going to love her, him, right? Or whatever. She's not loving me, so I'm not going to love her back, or whatever that is. And all of a sudden, those relationships become very transactional. And when the transaction doesn't happen like I want, what happens to those relationships? They're strained, they're stretched, and eventually, I say, forget it. I don't have any reason to connect with you. I don't have any reason to have a relationship with you. In fact, I don't care if I ever see you again, right? Because I didn't get what I wanted. Now, why is that so natural to humankind to enter relationships with a transactional mindset? You know why? There's a biblical and spiritual reason for that. Because inside each of us is a natural sinful nature that is selfish and self-centered. And it naturally crops up each and every day. And we're born with it. You can turn to mom and dad and say, thanks for passing it on. Since Adam and Eve, from the beginning of time, people have had a selfish, sinful, self-centered nature. And it affects our desire to connect with people and to have relationships with people. Because our inner self, and myself included, I get this way too. It's like, oh, you know, we have these members, and we can do this, and we can do that. And we begin to be transactional in those things. And so we need to recognize that and realize that that's going to affect our relationships. And it also affects, perhaps, the perception of church. Some of the things I hear from outside the people who have decided not to be part of a physical church community, congregation, say, well, all they want is my money. What perception has that person gotten of the church? It's like, I come, you give, and I get what I want, and that's all I want. I just want your dollars in the plate, right? Somehow, that has been communicated that what we're most interested in is what we can get from you. And sometimes I can be part of a church community, and I can enter it in a transactional point of view. It's like, well, this is where I hear it. The church is no longer meeting my needs. Well, what are your needs that it's not meeting? Well, you know, they don't have this, and they don't have that, and I'm, you know, my family, whatever. We list off the things we're not getting from a church. And I get that, because not every church is going to be able to provide every need of every person in the world. But again, I can understand why people perhaps choose, when they ask the question, why church, is like, why would I? Because if all the church is interested in doing is getting something from me, or if I enter it with the realization that, you know what, I'm going to get something from the church, and if I don't get what I want, then I'm leaving, what has happened? It's become very transactional. And I get why those relationships break apart, because it's not focused on the right thing. It's focused on what is inside me, myself, and I want, and that can show up. And again, on behalf of the church, I need to apologize and repent of creating an environment that perhaps communicates what we're most interested in is what we can get from you. So how do we sort this out as we think about why church and being a church that connects and understand the heart that God wants me to have as I go about life and relationships and connecting with others? What is going to change this that's going to make something different being part of a community that's connected to Christ? Well, there we have the answer. Is we got to go back and understand from Christ himself. Here's the first point. To connect with others, I must first connect with Christ. To connect with others, I must first connect with Christ. So let's put those human relationships aside, and let's just understand once again how God in Christ has connected to us. And he wants this to permeate your heart and your mind, your soul, your spirit this morning. To connect with others, I must first connect with Christ. So to do that, as we used for our statement of faith earlier, from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let's put it up here again. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So here the Apostle Paul, we're going to look at a few verses prior to this, but he's talking about relationships primarily within the church, but it also spills out to any relationship we have. In your relationships, your mindset should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. So what was Christ's mindset as he interacted with this world, with this people, with you and me? So those are the verses we stated earlier, but let's work through them a little bit more slowly and understand the mindset of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, verse 6 says this, "Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage." The first thing that we see here is Jesus was willing to set aside his status. Jesus is the Son of God, part of the Trinity, resides in heaven. Of anybody who could look down on this earth and go, why would I want to interact with them? I mean, I know they're part of my creation, but look at what they've become. How often they don't acknowledge me. How often they spend time on other things. Why? Why would I want to spend time with them? I'm God. I don't have to. Right? He could have had that mindset and said, there's no way I'm interacting with these people. But yet he was willing, who in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He didn't give up the status. He still was the Son of God. But he was willing to lay it aside to come to this earth. That was Christ's mindset. He was willing to set aside his status. Secondly, verse 7 says this, "Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." Again, of anybody that exists, Jesus, the Son of God, should have been able to come to this earth and say, you know what, I am the Son of God. I want you to come, you want you to kneel. I want you to ask me, what do you want me to do for you? I want to tell every one of you, here's what you need to do to serve me. Could Jesus, the Son of God, demanded that from every one of us? Absolutely. He had the status. He could have been served by everybody. In fact, he should have been served by everybody, but he came with a different mindset. And he said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And his mindset was, I am here to serve you. Willing to give up his status, willing to be a servant. And third, verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. He was completely selfless. When Jesus came to this earth, he knew it was not about him. He wasn't coming to this earth to get something from us. He was coming with one purpose in mind, and that was to give something for you. He set aside his status. He was willing to serve. And he realized, this isn't about me, and I'm willing to go to the cross to prove it. And so when I look at the connection that Jesus Christ has with me, I realize he did it from a completely selfless, giving, grace-filled heart. Nothing more, nothing less. And so it's no wonder that under inspiration of God's Spirit, the Apostle Paul says, in your relationships with others, your mindset should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Do we see any transaction in this attitude that Jesus had? Nope. Do we see in this activity of Christ a desire to make a very heartfelt connection with you and me? Absolutely. What is the difference? On your message notes, if you've pulled them out of your worship outline, I put a little chart. I'm a chart guy. Like, I like to have things organized so I can see the differences. If it helps me, and I'm just going to share it with you, if it helps you, I pray it's a blessing to you. So I'm thinking about this transaction and connection. And what's the difference? If I go through life with my relationships focused on being transactional, first of all, I'm interested in the return. I'm interested in the return. What can I get? So if you, whatever, the air conditioning, if the air conditioner isn't fixed, I'm not happy with that relationship until it's fixed, right? Because I'm interested in what I'm getting from that relationship. If the person at the checkout counter at HEB doesn't ring up my order right, I'm not happy until it's right, because I'm interested in the return on that relationship. A connection, however, is interested in the relationship. It's interested in the relationship. I'm interested in you as a person. Regardless of the transaction, I'm interested in you. So I can have that same repair guy show up at my door, right? And I can view that simply from a transactional, or I can see this person's story is intersecting with mine, and I have an opportunity to make a connection with that person. Transaction, connection. Secondly, a transaction is driven by consequences. Now, what do I mean by that? If the transaction doesn't go well, I'm not going to have a relationship with you. That's kind of how it works, right? If my interaction with you at work and it doesn't go well, we're no longer working together. It can happen in marriages and parents and kids, right? If it doesn't work, we're done. And so a transactional relationship is driven by consequences. So sometimes I stay in that relationship for fear of the consequences. But that's no way to really have deep relationships with people. Rather, a connection is driven by love and grace. Because I'm concerned about you, and I want to know you, regardless of the performance. And so you start applying these in our marriages, in our families, in our communities, in our workplaces. I can deal with the transaction, but my heart for you, and we even use that term, right? I have a real connection with that person, right? It's a heart connection. It's driven by love and grace. Third thing, a transaction is worried about what I get. A connection is concerned by what I can give. Now, why is that? How can we go and interact in our relationships focused on the connection that we have and realize that at different points in our story, we are intersecting with other people's story? And I can either view those opportunities as transactional or as an opportunity to connect them with the love of Jesus. Or simply carry the mindset that I am representing Christ to this person. And if this person matters to Christ, in this moment, they also matter to me. And I'll be focused more on what I can give to that person than what I can get from him. Now, why does this make sense for people who are connected to Christ? Because in my mind, we don't see a lot of connection relationships happening. A lot of them are transactional in our world, right? And so I ask the question, why would I want to be part of a church that shifts this focus from transaction to connection? Because that's what Christ does. That's what he's done for you. He's modeled it and he's given it to you and said, I have established a relationship with you that has no strings attached. I am interested in giving to you. And so I gave up my status. I'm willing to serve, and I will operate completely selfless. Look at these scripture passages. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Through him, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, Love one another deeply from the heart. You see, relationships as God designed it, Christ designed it within the church, proceed from a heart that is driven by the love that Christ has shown to me. And that's what this next scripture says from 1 John 4. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not have love, does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen, cannot love God whom they have not seen. We love because he first loved us. And John kind of calls us out and says, you know, if you come and you profess love of God, but you hate your brother or sister, that's not consistent. Insert any other relationship, right? It's like, well, I hate the people I work with, but I love Jesus on Sunday morning. Well, it's no wonder the unchurched look at us and go, what a bunch of hypocrites, right? I get that. I can see that. It's like, what? And John calls it out and he says, you can't profess love in Jesus, love for Jesus, when you don't love the people around you. You can't enjoy the non-transactional relationship with Jesus if you set up every relationship in your life as transactional. It doesn't work. We love because he first loved us. And it's our relationships, as we're connected to him, that are driven not by our selfishness, but by our Savior. And when we allow God in Christ to be the driver of our relationships, here's what happens. Our relationships begin to look like Christ's relationship to us. No matter who they are, the people we're married to, the kids that we have, the parents that we have, the people we go to school with, the people we work with, etc. Our relationships begin to look like the relationship that Christ has with us. How does that look? We'll go back to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. What was the mindset that Christ Jesus has? Now let's look at that as it plays out in our relationships. First of all, I'm willing to give up my status. I'm willing to give up my status. Jesus told a story of a good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. I'm not going to read it through, but Jesus helps an individual. What does it mean to love my neighbor? And the guy asks, well, who's my neighbor? Because in his mind, he says, you know what? I don't really want to love everybody. So Jesus, if you could define who I really need to love, then I will. And don't we get that way sometimes? Again, it's no wonder that a community outside the church says, what a bunch of judgmental people. Because inside our own hearts and minds at times, we're like, oh, I don't want to interact with them. Oh, they're so-and-so, they're this, they're that, they do that, etc. And in our minds, we are writing off relationships before we even get a chance to know the person. Because in our mind, we've created a status for ourselves that is a little bit above whatever status we've created for someone else. Right? Does that not happen? Maybe I'm the only one, but I fight against that. Because even if we have a status of a boss or employee, a pastor, whatever, I'm not necessarily talking about that, but that can play in. Say, well, I'm the pastor. I don't have to do that. In our own minds, we create a status for ourselves, and usually it's higher than we think. The scriptures even say that. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, because we love to create a status for ourselves, and then we measure everybody else against that status, and it drives who we interact with. So the Samaritan, in Jesus' day, there was a group called the Samaritans. They lived between a region in Galilee and Judea, and they were in the middle, and they were kind of a half-breeds between the Assyrians and the Jews, and they were intermarried. And so the pure Jews said, we don't want to interact with them. And they actually would go around the country. They would cross the Jordan River, go north and into Galilee. They would refuse to go through Samaria. And so this relationship was going on, and a Jew gets beaten up by a bunch of robbers. And two people walk by. First of all, a priest. A church guy, not messing with that. Then a teacher, a rabbi, not messing with that. And then a Samaritan, who by their status had every right to say, oh, that's a Jew. The way they treat, he got what he deserved. But the Samaritan goes over and gets messy, cleaning the guy's wounds, putting him on his donkey, taking him to an inn, going to the innkeeper and saying, here's some money, take care of him. I got to go take care of business, but I'll be back. And if you need more money to take care of him, I will. And Jesus asked the individual he's talking to, who is the neighbor? Who portrayed a connection instead of a transaction. And the individual said, the one who showed mercy. And he's exactly right. Because the Samaritan put aside his status and said, here's a person that's in a need. And they have nothing to give me, but I have something I can give them. And that he did. And that's what Jesus encourages us because of his love to exhibit in our relationships, to give up our status. Secondly, to be willing to serve. Jesus, at the end of time, as he commends and condemns those that have followed him, and begin in people's mind to say, the blessing of being where Christ is, and fill in the blank. You see, that's what happens when the love of Christ in his grace connects with my heart. And I cannot have these relationships apart from the connection to Jesus Christ. Otherwise, they're going to be self-centered transactional relationships the rest of my life on this earth. But when Jesus connects his love to my heart, and I realize how he gave up his status, how he's willing to serve and was completely selfless, I begin to look at my relationships around and go to my husband or wife, and I begin to think, how can I serve them? How can I be selfless in this relationship as a parent to your children? You know, I could pull the parent card, and sometimes maybe I just have to do that. But you know what? These are children God gave me, and Christ loves them, and even though I don't feel like loving right now, I'm going to serve them. And kids, I'm not going to let you off the hook either. Because what happens to your relationship with your parents when you begin to think, you know what, they're my parents, I don't have to listen to them. When I go, you know what, these are the people, they're not perfect, none of us are, but in Christ, we are forgiven. And I begin to think, you know what, I've wanted them to serve me all my life. What can I do to serve them? And how can I look at this from a selfless aspect? And you go into work on Monday morning, and instead of thinking about who did what and who did that, sometimes you got to address those things. But say, how can I come in here and add value to people? How can I just show up with the love of Christ and let God determine where that can ooze out? Or you go to the grocery store, Home Depot, or have someone to fix something at your home, and they show up, and you go, you know what? I don't know this person from Adam, but at this moment, they're here to fix my air conditioner, but maybe there's a way I can ask them how their day's going. But it starts with an attitude that desires to connect, truly connect, with others. And that connection only comes from a connection to Christ. And it's that connection to Christ that leads me to connect the love of Christ to others. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for doing all the work to connect with us. You sent your son who was willing to give up his status, willing to serve, and was completely selfless. He knew that he had nothing to gain from this, but had everything to give, exactly what we needed. Because at times we play our status card and we want to be served, and it's all about us. And for that, Father, we need your forgiveness. And every day we're going to struggle against our sinful nature that desires to show up in a self-centered way. And so, Holy Spirit, give us strength to combat that and replace in our relationships a willingness to give up our status, a willingness to serve, and to realize it's not about us, it's about others. Help us to connect with others in small ways or great ways, the love that you have shown to us, so they see in us we have been loved, and because of that love that you've given us, we desire to love them. In Jesus' name, amen.